Rabbi ben Isaac Doma, the parish of Mishnayos. So he wants to give you a little bit of a description of the Ketzat Seder Mishnah. How does the Torah Shema Peh transmitted to Klal Yisrael? So the Rabbi gives you an illustration. He says that, he said, Moshe Rabbeinu received Mitzvah X from the Rabbeinu Shalom. So he received the Pesukim of the Torah Shema Chsav. Then he explained, he received the beer, he explained the translation, he received the explanation, all the ramifications, all the details of that particular mitzvah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu taught it to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam goes through, quoting the Gemara, says, Ervin, how he first taught it to Aaron and Aaron's sons, and they taught it to the Zekanim and to Klal Yisrael. And they went around so that everybody understood all the details, all the finer nuances of that particular mitzvah. So the Rambam wants to illustrate to one particular mitzvah. So the Rambam could have picked any of the 630 mitzvahs. The Rambam could have given you an example. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah Shechita. Here, all the, this is how Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted it. So for some deep, dark reason, the Rambam picked out of all the 630 mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Sukkah. The Rambam's going to give you that as an illustration. Not that Sukkah is any different from the other 612, but boom, that was the example that the Rambam gives. So the Rambam says, that's exactly what happened. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu the four magic words, Basukah Steishu Shivas Yomim. So we gave him the Torah Shivas Chsav. He dictated him the words, a little bit more than four words, but that Pasuk, Basukah Steishu Shivas Yomim. And then afterwards, he elaborated to Moshe Rabbeinu how big a sukkah is, how small a sukkah can be, what the schach has to be made of, what the nuances of the war, all the details. Well, basically, although Masechah Sukkah, he transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu Baal Peh, Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted to Klal Yisrael. That's how we have Hilchos Sukkah Ad Hayom Hazeh. So I thought that we would start a little bit, since there is a Shulchan Aruch called to practice, to start to build a sukkah on Matzah Yom Kippurim. And since it's not always so practical and feasible for many of us to do that, but it's the Neshama Parim Sfaseinu, it's a big theme today. So hopefully we'll be zarcha to fulfill this mitzvah a little bit, even if we don't literally physically build a sukkah, those who are not able to tonight. But at least we'll learn hopefully a little bit of the sugyas of Masechah Sukkah, and really the ABCs in terms of the building of the sukkah. So hopefully that should count like we're fulfilling this minig as well. So the Rambam, when he gives you a little bit of this background as to what exactly Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, what Moshe Rabbeinu told us, so the Rambam starts out by saying, he told him how big a sukkah has to be. So how big the sukkah has to be? What are the dimensions for a sukkah? So I thought we'd spend a little bit tonight focusing on that particular halacha, how big a sukkah has to be, how small a sukkah can be, how wide, long, high, low. What are some of the nuances in terms of a sukkah? So the Gemara tells us, actually, the very first Mishnah Masechah Sukkah tells us that a sukkah has to be a bare minimum of 10 tefachim. So most of us do not build sukkahs that are 10 tefachim, but a sukkah that's 10 tefachim, 3 feet or so, 3 feet high, that's the bare minimum for a sukkah. It shouldn't come as a surprise that a sukkah can be 10 tefachim, it must be 10 tefachim. This is a shiur that we're familiar with in other areas of Halacha as well, in terms of Shabbos and Halachas Erevin. Basically, the rules of a mechitza in Kol HaTorah Kula are 10 tefachim, in terms of this constitutes Rishus HaYochid, other areas of mechitzas. The bare minimum of a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim. So again, it's not a big surprise that that's the bare minimum of a sukkah as well. How did Chazal know this? Where did this number come from of 10 tefachim? So the Gemara has an interesting machlokes in the beginning of Masechet Sukkah. So there's one opinion in the Gemara that says that the shiur of 10 tefachim is pure halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. Pure halacha l'Moshe Mesinai in the sense of don't waste your time to try to find the makor in the Torah Shebach Safra. You're never going to find it. You can open Chumash from today till tomorrow, you'll never find the pasuk that tells you the magic number 10 tefachim. It was Nimtzal l'Moshe Rabbeinu. It's what the Gemara says, that Hilchos Mechitzas and Nimtzal l'Moshe Rabbeinu. And the other day, the Gemara says, no, it's not so poshut. It's a din deraisa. Nobody says it's only a din derabon. Avad, it's a din deraisa. And the other Tana says that if you look really, really hard, you can figure it out from the Chumash itself. Where are you going to find it? Look at Parshas Emor, you'll never find it in a million years. You look in Parshas Re'eh, where the Torah speaks about sukkahs, you'll never find it. Where do you find it? If you really look carefully, you'll find it in Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma, what happened to Parshas Truma? So the Pasuk says that the Kruvim were Sechim Mechanfeim al Kapayras, that the Kruvim were being Mesachech, they were functioning as a Schach, as a protection. So if you really work out the math well, you'll figure out that the wings of the Kruvim were potentially 10 tefachim off the ground. How do you know that? Depending on the height of the Yoram, depending on the height of the Kapayras, and you add it up, and you make up the Cheshbainus with the tefachim and the Amos. So according to one Tana, it's going to come out right. According to the other Tana, it doesn't come out right. But according to one Tana, the math adds up that the Sechim Mechanfeim, that's the Shia of 10 tefachim. So again, everybody agrees that the Shia of a Sukkah is 10 tefachim. There's no Shaila, that's a Din D'Oraisa, less than 10 tefachim is possible, more than 10 tefachim is kosher. The Machlekes at the Tanaim is it based on a pure halacha Moshe Mesinai? Is this an oral tradition that there's no remez in the Torah Shabbat, or is it based on a Durasha? It's also Torah Shabbat Peh, but there are some parts of Torah Shabbat Peh that can be alluded to that are found in the Torah Shabbat as well. So again, it doesn't make that much of a difference to Halacha. At the end of the day, it has to be 10 Tvachim, whatever the Makor is, doesn't really matter for us. So that's the din. That's the first of the Halacha, is that a Sukkah has to be a bare minimum of 10 Tvachim.
Talking about the height.
Then the Mishnah quotes the second halacha that a sukkah can't be too high. A sukkah can't be above 20 amos. But whereas the shear of 10 tefachim is agreed upon by everybody, the shear of 20 amos is a machlokes hatanoim. So most of the tanoim subscribe to this idea that a sukkah cannot be more than 20 amos tall. And one time Rabbi Yehuda holds no, that a sukkah can be more than 20 amos tall. We pass the halacha that it's possible. I remember it was once. Once in the year, I was living in Kiryat Yavne, so I went to Yeshiva's Chevron for a Simchas Beis Shoevi. Yeshiva, not in Chevron, it used to be in Chevron, but Yeshiva's Chevron in Yerushalayim. So I went to go to the Simchas Beis Shoevi. Anyone who's been in the Sukkah in Yeshiva's Chevron is very, very, very tall, very, very, very high. And so I walked in. If it wouldn't be Yeshiva's Chevron, I'm not sure I would have eaten in that sukkah. I would have taken my own tape measure and started climbing up. It looked a little bit too close for comfort for me. But the Anashim Gedolim, great, the Rosh Yeshiva's great, the Chachamim, who are Vitzei Torah Chevron, no doubt, had measured it. It was probably 19.9 Amos, Kosh Lechachila. As long as it is, I don't know what shit they used for 20 Amos, but as long as it's less than 20 Amos, it's Kosh. So fine. So why should a sukkah that's above 20 Amos be possible? So here the Gemara doesn't tell us it was a pure halacha b'shem yisminah, and here the Gemara doesn't have any psukim, anything. So where did this come from? And forget it, this is even more complicated because the machlokes hatanoim, Rav Yehuda doesn't even accept it. So how did the Chachamim know that the sukkah can't be more than 20 amos? So the Gemara has a whole bunch of different possible makaris for this. The very first sugim is like a sukkah that base. The Gemara quotes one possibility that maybe it's based on the pasuk l'man yedid derisechem, that the Torah says that you have to be aware, you have to be cognizant that you're in the sukkah. So if the schach is going to be so high, you're going to sit in the sukkah. I mean, unless you're a mamash, if you're laying down when you're going to sleep, maybe you'll see the schach. But if you're sitting at eye level, it's going to be above your, it's not called the periphery vision, it's called the up and down vision, whatever it's called. I don't know. Ophthalmologist, okay, whatever it is, the up and down vision. So if the person is sitting at eye level, you're not going to chab, you're not going to see the schach. So the Gemara says, that's a chisor of a man yedu derisechem. Then the Gemara quotes another possibility that the schach is supposed to provide the shade for the sukkah. So if you have very, very tall walls, then the walls themselves are going to provide so much shade, it's going to end up, in a sense, overpowering the schach. That's going to overtake the schach, and that's going to be a problem. It's lacking the tzeil. And then the Gemara quotes the third reason that we pass in. The Gemara says, no, the real reason is not the first reason. The emissary reason is because the sukkah has to be a diras aroi. The sukkah has to be a temporary type of dwelling. It's shivas yom. It's not supposed to be a permanent house. It's supposed to be a temporary dwelling. So if you make it more than 20 amos, that's already too permanent. So the Gemara says, really? The Gemara says, what if I make a sukkah out of a metal wall? That's very, very permanent. You have two sukkahs. One is 19.9 amos made out of metal, and the other is 20.1 amos made out of canvas. So the Gemara says, no, the 20 amos one is possible. That's kach nemar halacha. That's the din. That the shear is nikva based on the fact that 20 amos is, generally speaking, a shear of keva. Most people, when they build a house, would build it more than 20 amos, whereas a person is building a small hut, so you would generally make it less than 20 amos. So that's the way it is. Sometimes, it doesn't seem that way. It happened to be that once split half a tefach over 20, all of a sudden it's called the diras keva. So even though the Gemara doesn't raise that question, but the Gemara in other places says, kal midas chacham kachen. The Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara raises the question, how can it be that we know that a mikveh has to have 40 saw? And if a mikveh doesn't have 40 saw, it's possible. So the Gemara says, what? How can it be? If a mikveh has 39.99999% of the water, so it's possible in a Torah, and you've typed the Yechav Kares, how can it be? And 40 saw all of a sudden it's kosher. How can it be such a din? So the Gemara says, no, kal midas chacham kachu. The Gemara says, that's the way it is. The Gemara never answers, but the answer is, the Gemara says, that's the way it is. Kach nemar halacha, that shiurim are exact. It has to be mamash exactly to the drop. So if it's a little bit more than if it's 40 saw more, it's kosher. 40 less than 40 saw, it's possible. So if it's 20 amos, it's possible. If it's 19.999, it's going to be kosher. Kol midas chacham kachen. So the Gemara has three different reasons why the sukkah above 20 amos is possible. Machlokes hatanoim, pasken, it's possible. It's possible in a Torah. Either it's possible in a Torah because it's a chisaron of l'man yedid derisechem, or it's possible in a Torah, it's a chisaron in tzeil, or it's possible in a Torah because it's a chisaron in terms of diras aroi. So these two halachas, in terms of the minimum height of the sukkah, the maximum height of the sukkah, are pretty straightforward. But then it gets a little bit more complicated. Then the Gemara raises the question, what's the shear of the size of the sukkah, in terms of the width and the length of the sukkah? What's that all about? Where does that no shearim come from? So the Gemara quotes a major machlekes, the tanoim, between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rabbi Dan Nosi was of the opinion that a sukkah has to be Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. If it's less than Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos, so it's no good. Where did Rabbi Dan Nosi come off to say such a thing? So the Gemara says that's a shear of bias in Kol Torah Kula. There are many dinim that revolve around the shear of a bias. The Torah says, L'moshel, you have to put a mezuzah on a bias. Or, let's say, if a person just built a bias, a shabana bias, so he's exempt from the army until he finishes doing his Chanukah habayas. So what's called a bias? So the Gemara says, Shia Allah Moshe Messina is Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. But there's a mitzvah ba'akya, Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. Whenever the Torah says there's a din of a bias has to be Dalet by Dalet. So Rabbi Dan Nosi says, so to a sukkah has to also be a bias. How do we know? Mishtei bias by sukkah. Doesn't exactly say the word bias, but it does say, Basukah's teshvu, sukkah shivas yamim. Teshvu means teshvu ke'ein taduru. You have to live in the sukkah. There's a din of dira in the sukkah. So Mustam Rabbi Dan Nosi understood, if there's a din of dira in the sukkah, well, where do you dar? Where does the person live? He lives in a house. So since the Torah describes this, the mitzvah of sukkah as being an act of dira, and dira is usually associated with a bias, so you see from here that a sukkah has to be similar to a bias, therefore it has to be a minimum of Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. So the Gemara says that we don't accept Rabbi Dan Nosi's view. We don't pass like Rabbi Dan Nosi. We hold that a sukkah doesn't have to be like a bias. Why do we not accept Rabbi Dan Nosi's view? So the Gemara says, because we pass that a sukkah is a diras aroi, it's not a diras keva. If a sukkah would have had a bit and be there as kev, it ought to be a permanent structure, then Rabbi Dan Nosi taka makes a lot of sense. It's got to be taka Dalet Amos, but Dalet Amos. But according to the Chachamim, no, a sukkah is dafka, diras aroi, not a diras keva, and therefore it need not be Dalet Amos. Doesn't mean it's possible it's more than Dalet Amos, but it need not be Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. So how big must it be? Assuming that Rabbi Dan Nosi is not accepted. So what is this year? So then the Gemara quotes a machlekes atanoim. The Gemara says it was a machlekes between the Talmid Bisham and Talmid Bishilel. What is the minimum size? What's the minimum shear in terms of the width and length, assuming we don't accept Rabbi Dan Nosi? So the Gemara quotes that the opinion of Bishilel was that it has to be 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. Bishtei 6 tvachim. Where did that come from? So the Gemara makes a simple calculation. The Gemara says that a person has to be able to fit into the sukkah. Even if you hold that it's not a diras keva, it's at least a diras aroi. So in order to be a diras aroi, you have to be able to go in. So the Gemara says, if it's less than by six tvachim, so it's an average sized person isn't going to be able to fit. In theory, you can have a person very, very small and be able to fit in, but a normal, regular sized person is going to have great difficulty fitting in if it's less than 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. So therefore, we don't accept the chumra of Rabbi Dan Nosi, it's got to be Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos, but we do accept it has to be a makom dira. Makom dira means you got to be able to fit there. So that was the view of Beis Hillel. The sukkah has to be 6 by 6, that's enough. And then Beis Shammai says that we don't accept the extreme view of Rabbi Dan Nosi, it has to be Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos, but we don't accept the view of Beis Hillel either that has to be 6 by 6, it has to be 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. Where did this magic seventh tefach come from? So the Gemara explains that according to Beis Shammai, you have to be able to put a table inside. You have to be able to live there. You have to put something in there. You don't need such a grandiose dinner table. You need a little tray, a little something like an airplane pack. Put a little something, a tefach or so. So you have to put something in front of you to be able to put your food down on. That's why you need that seventh tefach. That's where the seventh tefach by seventh tefach comes from. So normally in Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, we would pasuk like Beis Hillel. This is one of the few examples of the Gemara of Beferish and the Sukkah Dav Gimel that we pass like Beis Shammai. So we pass in the middle sheet. We don't accept the extreme chumra of Rabbi Dan Nosi. It has to be Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. On the other hand, we don't accept the extreme kula Beis Hillel either. That's enough to be 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. We pass the Allah, it has to be 7 by 7. And the seventh tefach, that magic seventh tefach, is in order to get the table in there. So where did that seventh tefach come from exactly? What do you have to get the table in there? And what's so terrible if I hold the food in my lap, hold it over my hand? Why do I need that seventh tefach for exactly for a table? What's the significance of that table? So that's a big machlekes of Rishonim. So the Rif understood that requirement of the seventh tefach is really only midrabbanan. Min haTorah Beis Hillel is right. Min haTorah, even Beis Shammai agrees to Beis Hillel that 6 tvachim is enough, because again we don't hold you need diras keva, diras aroi is enough. A person can fit in 6 by 6. Shun, that's mispik. That's enough for the mitzvah of sukkah. The seventh tefach for the table is midrabbanan. Where did that midrabbanan come from? So that's a mishnah later on in the second parak. where the Mishnah quotes a machlekes Satanoim. Let's say, for instance, a regular sukkah, a big sukkah, it's got a 20-foot by 20-foot size, a width of a lane sukkah, but he's sitting at the very edge of the sukkah, and he happens to have his table outside the sukkah. So what's the din? I'm eating in the sukkah, and my table's outside the sukkah. So is there anything wrong with that? So Beis Hillel said, nothing wrong with that. As long as you're inside the table, sukkah, I'm fine, I don't care where your table is. And Beis Shammai says, no, Beis Shammai said, Gazrina and Shemayim Shachacha Shachanoi, that we're afraid that if you're sitting at the edge of the sukkah, so you may lean over and you may end up, you're going to get your food, you're going to end up swallowing your food, you're going to end up eating your challah, and you're going to be, your body's going to be outside of the sukkah. So we have a machlekes b'shamay, so a level of derabon, minat Torah, as long as you're in the sukkah, you're okay. But mid derabon and b'shamay felt that we're afraid that if the sukkah is at the very edge, you may end up schlepping out after your table. And Beis Hillel didn't buy into that gezeira. So l'chora says the Rif, this machlekes is b'shamay Beis Hillel about the seventh tefach is not l'shitasim. According to Beis Hillel, you can build a 6 tefach sukkah, put your table outside, nothing wrong. According to Beis Shammai, that's not an option. According to Beis Shammai, if you do that, then midrabanan, that's not acceptable. So therefore, midrabanan, you must have that 7th tefach. But be'ikaron, the Beis Hillel is right. Min HaTorah, Beis Hillel is right. 6 tefachim is the shear of Dira Sarai. Whether or not you need the 7th tefach, it's only midrab. And the Ran disagrees with the Rif. The Ran, beginning with Sechah Sukkah, says, no. The machlekes is Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, is if you have a tremendous sukkah, and you personally are sitting at the edge of the sukkah, and your sukkah is outside, and your table's outside. So that's the problem with the Rabbanon. But if you have a sukkah that's so small, you can't even fit your table in, that's not even called a dira. That's called a dira srucha. So how much sugar would live like that? Who would ever build yourself? Imagine you build yourself even a temporary house, even a hut. You wouldn't build yourself a bunk in camp. That's 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. You can't even put your table inside. So the Ran says that's a chisar midaraisa. That's not even called a dira. That's not even, forget about dira keva. Nishkan dira sarai. It's not even a dira sarai. It's a dira srucha. Way of living. So I'll go upon him again. Everybody agrees that Allah we follow Bisham. Everyone agrees you need 7 tefachim. So less than 7 by 7 is out of the question. But where did that 7 tefach come from? Is the 7 tefach, which is for the table, is that just a chumra midirabanan to suffice Bisham's gezeira? Or is that 7 tefach really required midiraisa?
According to the Rambam, why would you consider that 10 tefachim being too difficult to live in?
So the Gemara says that if it's under 10 tefachim, it's going to be mamash adira, zad dira srucha. But if it's 10 tefachim, why is that?
And you have to sit on the floor then.
Okay. So you look at the floor. Okay.
They don't deal with sleeping, they only deal with eating.
Oh, so that's the Chacham Tzvi's bomb kashi from the sugya. The Ramah has a tremendous chumaruch sukkah. The Ramah writes that if a person builds a sukkah in a place where it's impossible to sleep in that sukkah, to be impossible to sleep in the sukkah, Zok, the Ramah is nishkin sukkah then? It's not a makom dira. It's not a makom dira, then you can't even be yotze eating in such a sukkah. So the Chacham Tzvi says, how can there be such a din? Says the Gemara says you can be yotze in a 7 by 7 sukkah. Who's going to sleep there? It's not shy. We can curl up, egg, and stand up. You can lay down, hanging to sleep in such a sukkah. So Zem, you see from here that says the Chacham Tzvi that you don't have a sukkah that's royal l'chol davar. You can have eating sukkah, and you have a sleeping sukkah, and even if it's not practical, it's not physically practical to sleep in the sukkah, you're still yaitzim whenever you can be yaitzim. You're still yaitzim to eat in the sukkah. That's not the Chacham Tzvi. It's a raya.
According to the Ran, Beis Hillel doesn't hold by this dira srucha. I mean, if it's midaraisa,
right? Beis Hillel says that they had a different thing of dira. They say that people can live there without your table. You know, the requirement of a table is not necessary midaraisa. It's still called a dira. It's enough of a dira. So the Magen Avraham raises a shayla of a sukkah based on a Tosfos in the beginning of a Masechah Sukkah. When we speak about dimensions of a sukkah, we speak about 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. So what exactly does that mean? Does that mean a total area of 49 tefachim? Or does that mean it has to be mamish the amount to literally draw a box of at least 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim? Let's say I have the following sukkah. I have a sukkah that's 6 tefachim by 100. Is such a sukkah kosher or not? So I have way more than the area of 7 by 7. On the other hand, there's no place in the sukkah that's exactly 7 by 7. So that's a big shayla. So the post came up, a big machlekes is the sukkah is that good. So some of the achimranim and medayik, that would be okay. As long as you have a total of 7 by 7, you can have a 49 by 1. How are you going to fit in? Very, very skinny. So 49 by 1, that's all. If you can fit in, you can be out to the mitzvah. And the other achimranim said, what are you talking about? So if it's not 7 by 7, so that's not even in the book. It can be 7 by 100. It's got to be a minimum of 7 by 7. So the Acharonim Menuchas Mezuzah, Taz and the Shach Menuchas Mezuzah discuss this Shaila Menuchas Sukkah as it plays out Menuchas Mezuzah as well. Menuchas Mezuzah, we said before, there's a Shia that has to be Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. That everybody agrees. There's got to be Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos because that's a Shia bias. Mezuzah is a din of a bias, so it's got to be Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. What would the din be if you have a house that's 8 Amos by 2 Amos? So would that suffice? Would that be called the Makum Dalet by Dalet or not? So the Acharonim explains it's the same shaila as Menuchas Sukkah. If you hold that Menuchas Sukkah that the Shia was given, the oldest Shiurim are given in terms of a total area, it doesn't really matter what the dimensions are, so then who did Nami Menuchas Vayis for Mezuzah, if you have an 8x2, it would be Chayv Mezuzah. Whereas if you hold that note that the Shia is, you have to be able to draw a box in the middle of 7x7, then presumably you have to be able to draw a box with Dalet Amos in the house as well in order to be Chayv Mezuzah. How do we pass in Halacha? So many of the Acharonim Paskin, that the shear is, it has to be exact. And it's got to be an absolute box of Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos, or an absolute box of 7x7 in order for it to be a kosher. So it ought to be Chayav Mezuzah. That's not the Chazanish Paskin. That's not the many, many later Acharonim Paskin. So that is a big Chiddush in terms of Menuchas Mezuzah. We spoke about this in the past, that we Paskin Halacha, that a room is only Chayav Mezuzah, a house is only Chayav Mezuzah, but Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. And we Paskin like this Chazanish, that's got to be Dalet by Dalet. 8x2, that's not enough. It's got to be Dalet by Dalet. So people have a lot of rooms. They have closets, all kind of stuff. That's 8x2, that's 7x3.5, whatever. A lot of different numbers, but very often it's shy of just being dollar by dollar. So we would pask it that such a room, technically speaking, is potem in a mezuzah. There is a chumrah, Rabbi Kivega has a chumrah, that if you have a room that's potem in mezuzah, so you should have the mezuzah coming out of the room. So like in here, like this closet going in here, so it's less than dollar by dollar. Is there a mezuzah coming into the... Is there one? I think there is. I hope there is. I think there's supposed to be a mezuzah coming out of that closet coming into here. Because even though that room itself is not a less than dollar by dollar, but when you come out of a less than dollar by dollar into a bigger room, so if you a chumra, that you should have a mezuzah there. And Ramesha said, it's not true, the whole thing is not true, that Hilfah's mezuzah, you just determine, am I going in? If I'm going in, if a potter, if it's potter going in, then it's potter going out also. Rukivega had that chiddush. And the Pesachachiva quotes other chumra, the Chabudi Daniel about a chiddush, that when do we say that dollar by dollar is potter mezuzah? That's only if you made a house. If you try to build a regular house, you can eat and you sleep in it, and it's so small, so that's not a bias. But if you have a room, everybody makes rooms that small. Everybody makes closets that small. That's the normal way. It's the normal usage of a closet. And dacha should be chayv mezuzah. So according to the Chumash Daniel, even though you have less than dollar a dollar, if it's serving as a normal function, then the mezuzah should be going on the right side. So you have three different shittas in the poskim. What do you do on small closets? So according to Rabbi Kivega, you have it coming out of the closet, on the right side coming out. According to the Chumash Daniel, you have it on the right side going in. According to Rabbi Moshe, you don't have to have it all together. To make the life even more complicated is we're not even sure how to cheshbon out the dollar by dollar. So if you hold, like those Rishonim will say, 8x2 is also Dalet by Dalet, then the mezuzah should be going in. And if you hold not like that, the mezuzah should be going out. Possibly it gets very, very labedic in terms of Uchas mezuzah. But it all started in Uchas Sukkah. The bottom line is, the whole Shia started in Uchas Sukkah, because the Acharonim of Mefalpel about how do you cheshbon out the 7x7. So again, so we have three basic halachas in terms of the dimensions of the Sukkah. Because the minimum height for the Sukkah of 10 tefachim, either it's pure halach mashasinei or it's Tosh Rafet, explaining based on psukim. If it's the same din that we have by Hilchos Shabbos, Erevin, etc., then you have a shear of 20 amos maximum height of a sukkah. So then you have three opinions of the Gemara. Either it's based on a lack of mandir der seichem, or it's based on a lack of tzeil of the schach, or it's based on a dearest kevin. We usually assume halacha. Then you have the third issue in terms of the minimum dimensions, width and length of a sukkah. So you have three shittas. Rabbi Danossi says it's Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos because it's a dearest keva. Everybody else disagreed. Within those that disagreed, so Beshamai said 7 and Beisol said 6 because Beshamai needs the extra tefach for a table. Either that's Midir Abon like the Rif, or it's Midir Isa like the Ran. And then you have to figure out whenever you talk about these numbers, are you talking about a total area, you're talking about different dimensions. So again, at least we got the basics. At least now we know how big the sukkah is supposed to be. So maybe at some point, another time, maybe we'll talk about some other things related to the sukkah. Hopefully, in the next show tomorrow morning, it's 7:15. So we'll try to give a shiur on in Yonim of the Dalet Minim. A lot of people are probably going to be looking for Dalet Minim this week. So maybe we'll try to give the highlights as to some of the ABCs, what one should be looking for Dalet Minim. So we'll have to show 7:15 tomorrow morning. Sure.